Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome everybody to my presentation, which is about recursive estimation of human pulse responses. And this is a joint work together with my PhD supervisor, Professor Bin Yang. So what's the goal of this work? We want to track a time-varying human pulse response. So we have the following scenario. We have a source, S of n, which could be moving in time, and we have a microphone here at that position, and we want to estimate this Ruhmann pulse response, which is in between the source and the microphone. And as we have a time-varying scenario, we want really to track this Ruhmann pulse response. So down here, we have the signal model. We have x of n as the convolution of theta of n time convolved with s of n. S of n we assume to be known. This is the source signal, and x of n is this microphone signal, and we want to estimate this theta of n given some additive Gaussian noise that we have. For convenience, we represent this in a matrix notation given here. So if we introduce some Toeplitz matrices, either theta of n, which represents a convolution, or equivalently some matrix S of n, which is Toeplitz, then we can represent this convolution as a matrix vector multiplication. And we end up with the signal model that we have up here. And our popular solution approach to this problem is the weighted least squares estimator, I think most of you know. And the idea is to minimize the weighted Euclidean norm, introducing some forgetting factor which just says that past measurements are not so important than newer observations that I have. And this forgetting factor has to lie between 0 and 1. So what's now the idea of this presentation? The idea is now to improve this weighted least squares estimator by incorporating additional information. And the additional information that we want to incorporate, this will be an energy conservation constraint. So basically, we have the two questions. One I already answered. This is, what is the a priori information that we normally have? So we will assume that the energy that I receive at the microphone has to be less or equal to the energy that I emitted at the source. And so this is the a priori knowledge that we have, and we want to model this as a constraint into our recursive estimation. And the second question is, how can we efficiently come up with estimators that really incorporate this additional knowledge that we have? And we will propose, we will look at three different methods to do this. Okay, so this brings me to the contents of my talk. It basically has two parts. One is, the first part is answering the first question, what is the constraint, how does the constraint look like that we can exploit, and the second part is about the estimators that I can use to estimate recursively the Ruhmann pulse response. And then I will show you some simulation results and sum up the presentation. Okay, so first of all, how can I express this energy conservation constraint? And as I said, what we want to exploit is that the signal energy at the microphone has to be less or equal than the signal energy at the source, which is written down here. And if I just put this in a mathematical form, what I need to ensure is that the Euclidean distance of theta n times s of n, so this is the signal that I have at the microphone, has to be less or equal to the Euclidean distance of my emitted signal. And if I just multiply this out and keep in mind that this has to hold for all signals s of n, then I see that this matrix theta of n transpose times theta of n, so theta of n was this Toeplitz matrix where we had the Ruhmann pulse responses on the diagonals, this has to be negative semi-definite. Sorry, this one here. And this condition has to hold for all signal lengths s. And if we know that the condition is fulfilled for a particular signal length S0, then we know from the fact that the upper left matrix of a negative semi-definite matrix is also, again, negative semi-definite. We know that this condition also holds for all signal lengths that are smaller than S0. So for us, it's just important to look at the case that the signal length S goes to infinity. And this is what we will do in the following. So now this is the constraint that we can exploit. And on the next slide, I will show you two equivalent representations of this set. So this set contains all Ruhmann pulse responses which fulfill this energy conservation constraint. And the first representation that we can use is an LMI representation. So if I just use Schur's lemma, then I see that I can express this constraint here by this Bloch matrix, which has to be positive semi-definite. And as it is linear in theta in each element of this matrix elements, I know that this is an LMI, and I immediately see that the set theta is a convex set. But this representation is not so convenient for us to include into the recursive estimation layer, as we will see. And therefore, I will use the following frequency domain representation. Using the equivalence of the eigenvalues of a band-limited Toeplitz matrix and the corresponding circulant matrix for the case that my signal length goes to infinity, I can come up with the following constraint, and I did the details you can find in the paper, or I also put them in a backup slide. But what we will see, and this is also somehow intuitive, that the room frequency response, so this is nothing else than just the Fourier transform of my room impulse response. If I take the magnitude square of this, this has to be less or equal to 1 for all frequencies. So this basically says there is no single frequency, omega, where the room frequency response is larger than 1. So no single frequency is increased. There's no additional gain for each frequency. Okay, and we will see that all three recursive estimators are based on this frequency domain representation. And to come up with some convenient computational formulas, we will approximate the equation that we had before by introducing the DFT. And now we just evaluate the room frequency response at discrete frequencies. So we now have omega L is 2 pi L divided by L, and this L is either equal to M or larger to M, which just corresponds to the case of zero padding. And now if I introduce some selection matrix P, what I basically see here is that my room frequency response at this omega L now and time instance N has to be less or equal to 1. This is the constraint that we have, to ensure for all L from 0 up to basically L over 2. And this what's standing here, this is basically just a quadratic form that I have. So my constraint, so this family of room impulse response, room impulse responses, which are energy conserving, I can represent this constraint just by a set of quadratic forms that I have to fulfill. Okay, this was the energy conservation constraint, and now the question is how can we incorporate this knowledge into the recursive estimation? And therefore, I will briefly talk about the general setup that we have and then come up with the specific estimators for our room impulse response estimation problem. So in general, we have the following problem. We have x of n is s of n times theta of 0 of n. So this is the time-varying parameter that we want to estimate from our observations x of n, given some additive Gaussian noise. And we know a priori that my parameter that I want to estimate, this lies in this subset theta, which is a subset of the m-dimensional space. And motivated by the weighted least squares estimator, we can reformulate or we can come up with a signal model as given here. If I introduce a stacked observation vector x of n, which just contains all observations that I have, if I introduce a stacked model matrix s of n, which contains all model matrices for all time instances, and also introduce a noise vector z of n, which is now not merely only the stacking of the individual noise terms, but also incorporates this down weighting that I have, which just says that past measurements are not so important than new observations, I can come up with this signal model. And if I just for now don't consider this constraint here, then it's well known that the maximum likelihood estimator of this one is just the weighted least squares estimator. And therefore, this was the motivation for us to consider this signal model. And now with the additional constraint that we know that this theta of n has to lie in this subset theta. Okay, and now the question is how can we avoid estimators with a growing computational complexity? So if I go back, if you just look here, this x of n and also the other terms, they are growing with time because I just stack all observations that I have into this large vector x of n. And therefore the question is how can we avoid estimators with this growing computational complexity? And what we use is the concept of sufficient statistics. And a sufficient statistic of the signal model that we had before, so of this linear Gaussian model, is given by the following. And if you just look closely at this term that we have here, this is nothing else than the maximum likelihood estimator of the equation that we had before. And this is just the weighted least squares estimator, as I said. So a sufficient statistic that I can use is the weighted least squares estimator of the problem that I had before. And now the, this sufficient statistic, it's well known that this can be efficiently computed by the recursive weighted least squares estimator. And this recursive weighted least squares algorithm updates my sufficient statistic because it solves for the weighted least squares estimate in each iteration and also gives me the inverse correlation matrix. And these both quantities I will need for the estimators that will follow. So the idea is now what I can use is the sufficient statistics in the first step. So I use the weighted least squares estimator, and now I'm thinking of different estimators in the second step or different ways to incorporate that knowledge that I have, this energy conservation constraint, to get a better estimate than the weighted least squares estimator will give me. Okay, and now this is the first estimator that we can use. This is quite simple. We use the maximum likelihood estimator of our signal model, but this time with the knowledge that my theta has to lie in this subset theta, so in the set of all room impulse responses which are energy conserving. And if you just multiply this out, and keeping in mind that we know the sufficient statistics, then we come up to the following quadratic form. We have theta minus the weighted least squares estimate times the correlation matrix, and times this one, we have to minimize this quadratic form subject to our constraint. So at each time step, we have to check either is the weighted least squares estimate inside my constraint. If yes, then this is also my recursive constraint maximum likelihood estimate. Or if not, we have to find the minimum of this quadratic form on the boundary of this constraint set that I have. So now for our room impulse response tracking problem, we know that the constraint is just given by these quadratic forms, and therefore all I have to do is, in the case that my weighted least squares estimate is not inside this constraint, what I have to do is then I have to solve, or I have to minimize a quadratic form over quadratic constraints, which is a quadratically constrained quadratic program, which we can efficiently solve. So this is the first estimator that we can use. The second estimator is the recursive affine minimax estimator. And it was shown by Elder that this affine minimax estimator has the following form. If I know the efficient estimator from my signal model, then I have to apply the following affine transform using this matrix M of n, and this vector U of n. And M of n and U of n are can be found by solving a minimax problem given here. And if you look closely at this one, this just depends on the inverse correlation matrix, which is also computed by the recursive weighted least squares estimator. So again, we have here, it depends on the sufficient statistics, and here on the inverse correlation matrix, and both are updated by the recursive weighted least squares estimator. So I'm still, I also have here the problem, or the nice fact that I can rely on this weighted least squares estimator in the first step. So now for our room impulse response tracking problem, we do the following simplification. To reduce the computational complexity, we just set U of n to zero and assume that this M of n is just a diagonal matrix which just have one parameter alpha that we try to optimize. So we solve this not over all M and U, but just over this alpha. And to incorporate this set of quadratic constraints that I have, one has to first transform the problem into epigraphic form and then use the S procedure as is written down here, and then I can reformulate this optimization problem into a semi-definite program, and this is what we will do in the simulation results. So this was the recursive affine minimax estimator, and last idea to introduce or to incorporate this knowledge or this a priori knowledge that I have this constraint is to use the minimum mean squared error estimator, where I now say that I have a uniform prior on this constraint set theta. And this can be motivated just by the maximum entropy principle, which just says out of a family of prior densities, I should choose that prior which has the maximum entropy. And this is the uniform prior on this set theta. So using the concept of Bayesian sufficient statistics, we can come up with the following recursive minimum mean squared error estimator, which is just written here. And again, we see it also just depends on the sufficient statistics and on the inverse correlation matrix. So we also have not the problem of an inference growing dimensional vector x of n. And to solve these integrals, we use rejection sampling. So we use basically Monte Carlo integration. And the samples from the posterior are found by sampling using rejection sampling. And the posterior, as you can see here, is just a Gaussian density, so it's a quadratic form in this exponential, which is truncated to the theta. So the support of this density is given by this constraint set theta. And for our room impulse response tracking problem, we sample from a Gaussian, and then we have just to check is this constraint fulfilled or not for that sample, and if it's not fulfilled, then we just regard this or reject this sample. Okay, this brings me now to the simulation results. In the simulation result simulations, we have the following problem. We have we want to estimate the room impulse response from a moving source to a fixed microphone. So the setup is as following. The source moves along a straight line, and we have 10 centimeters between neighboring positions. Overall, we have 11 positions, so the source moves in total 1 meter. The source signal is assumed to be Gaussian, just Gaussian noise of length 100 samples. And the room has a size of 3 by 3 meters and a height of 2.3 meters, and the reverberation time is 120 milliseconds. And we use an image source model to obtain the room impulse responses with a sampling frequency of 12 kilohertz, which gives us room impulse responses of a length of 1,241 taps that we have to estimate in each time step. And the all three estimators, as I said, we use this DFT approximation, and we use oversampling by roughly a factor of 10. So we use L is equal to 2 to the power of 14. And for this recursive minimum mean squared error estimator, we use 3,000 samples to approximate these integrals by Monte Carlo integration. So just briefly, the definition, so signal-to-noise ratio is just the signal-to-noise ratio at the microphone, and we use a normalized error measure to show the results here, which is just the squared difference between my estimate and my true room impulse response divided by the room impulse response energy. Okay, first of all, here are the results for the instantaneous estimators, which corresponds to the case to beta equals zero. And as I do not have much time left, what you can see is all three estimators are better than the weighted least squares estimator, and especially the minimum mean squared error estimator is smaller here. And if I allow for beta unequal to zero, you see that all values get smaller from up here to down here. And again, this recursive minimum mean squared error estimator, which has this uniform prior on this constraint set, gives the best results. So let me quickly sum up my presentation. We talked about the recursive room impulse response estimation with an energy conservation constraint. And as you could see in the simulation results, this constraint really helps to improve the performance. And the recursive minimum mean squared error estimator was the estimator with the best performance. And now to come up with better estimators, or with to improve the performance even more, we could now incorporate additional information that we could have. So this would mean additional constraints, and this is some future work we are thinking about. Thank you very much for your attention.
I was wondering what is the physical meaning of these constraints? I mean, you talk about discrete digital signals, mm-hmm. and the quantity that you call energy, well, it's somehow related to real-world energy, mm-hmm. but, you know, there are amplifiers and a lot of devices in between. And, the response that you can measure using a standard estimator could have easily like a 20 dB gain for a particular frequency.
Mm-hmm. In the simulation results, we see that this energy conservation constraint just gives us room impulse response estimates, which are more smooth than if you just compare it to the ordinary weighted least squares estimate. So this is basically what this constraint performs. But now the question is, you're right, if there are devices in between, some amplifiers, you need to have one calibration step beforehand in a real application to really use this setup, because what we really want to have is that this energy at the microphone is less or equal to the energy of at the source. So if there would be an amplifier in between, we need one calibration step to use this setup. Yeah.
Any more questions?
So which additional prior knowledge do you have in mind?
Okay. One idea would, for example, if I know that my source will not be closer to the microphone than, for example, 2 meters or something like this, then I know from just free air propagation what could be, or what is the minimum attenuation that I will have. and stuff like this could be incorporated. Or also there is some work published already which includes sparsity priors. So if I know that my room pulse response just has some strong path, this is something additional that I can put on top to come up with a better estimate of this room pulse response. Yeah.
How likely would the MMSE, the norm of the MMSE solution, be larger than one? Because here you're having this constraint on the norm of the channel.
Yeah.
So how likely, if you have real measurement, the received power is always, I guess, smaller than the transmit power. So how likely would the norm of the MMSE solution be larger than one, in which case you would need your...
Okay, you mean how many, for example, for this recursive minimum mean squared error estimator, do I have to do a rejection? This depends strongly on the signal-to-noise ratio. And so for a signal-to-noise ratio of, for example, 5 dB, roughly, if you sample from this posterior density, you have to exclude every second sample that you get to draw from this posterior density, for example. Or if for this recursive constraint maximum likelihood estimator, I do not know the ratios at all, how many times you accept the weighted least squares estimator and how many times you have to solve this optimization problem, the boundary. I'm not sure how many times this will happen for this RCML.
Okay, thank you.
I'll have to check this. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's thank the speaker again.